Good morning. Welcome again into the house of the Lord. We thank God for each one who has come, and we thank God for being here and providing a blessing for us all. Do we have any greetings? They send their greetings. Thank you. Thank you. If there are no more greetings, we'll move on to the other announcements. There's a new update on Jacob Weinhardt. He was having trouble with the skin, and they were able to use a special lotion on that, and he's feeling much better now to that. And he has no reactions to it, and it looks like there's no permanent damage to the skin. And we'll hang that up if we on the wall where the bulletin board was. And also, they want to go back to his treatments then, but maybe only at half strength. And that's something that the family isn't sure about, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes, and to keep him in prayer. Also, Brother Dmitry Petkov from San Diego Vista, he sent a letter to Mark, and he was talking about that his brother-in-law, who attends the church there also, Nairobi Nemeni, and who's married to Sister Arlene Casa, and they have three children, and for almost 2 weeks now he's had an infectious disease, and they don't know what it is. He's done some tests, they have come out negative, but he still has this, and his lymph nodes are swollen, and he's feeling really tough pain through this, and they went and they took out one lymph node and sent it out to find out what it is. And the doctor is aware that he's been to Zambia, he's been to Africa, he's been to Tikati, and they don't know if a disease is something like from, something like that. But hopefully the test they do on that lymph node would tell him. But keep him in prayer, and we'll hope that God would heal. And today is Bible class, worship service, a lunch, afternoon song service. And today is the last day of the coat drive. Before today, I think there were 375 coats, and some people have brought coats in today. So that's our best coat drive ever. And there's no Wednesday night Bible study this week. It will start again on January 10th, 2024. This is my first time writing 2024 on something. And are there any other announcements that need to be made? If not, pray for Brother Phil as he would have the service. And can we sing a few verses out of hymn number 120? 120.
Good morning. On this last day of 2023, let's begin this service with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for the confidence that we just sang of, the confidence that we have in you and you alone. All earthly things, all personal things, all anything we can't have true confidence in. Only you. Because you are God and God alone. And have the power to do anything. And Lord, have given your love to us and powered us to be made new. Lord, that you have made us new and given us new life. Lord, things that we could not do on our own, Lord. And we just thank you so much and praise you for that. We pray for our loved ones that aren't with us this day, that you'd watch over and bless them. May they feel better, those that aren't feeling well. May they draw closer to you, even though they are away from us. We just pray a blessing and healing on those that we just heard about as well that need prayers. And there's many in this world that need prayers. And we commit them to you. We commit especially those that are suffering for your name's sake, Lord, that are on the front lines of battles, physical, emotional battles, serving you and paying a cost for it. Lord, we seem to pay little cost here where we live. And Lord, we just need to be mindful of those who are suffering and remember them and give them over to your care. We pray a blessing now on this year end that we have recollections of what has been done and said this past year, and Lord, give us a new zeal in this coming year to serve you, to draw closer to you, to be your children, to be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the time we have now to share from your word. And may it be a blessing. We pray all this now and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've always said on my birthday that people say, oh, how do you feel now that you're whatever number I'm at? I said, well, it's just one day older than the previous day, so how can I feel any different? But birthdays and New Year's, they're really one day different than the previous, but they really are demarcations in time that matter, that make a difference. And just like birthdays, New Year's is a passing of time and is a point in time that we say something is different and something is changing. Typically, resolutions are something that happens during New Year's where people come up with things that they want to do better. They want to exercise more or eat better or read God's word more. And I'm not really much for resolutions. But kind of the other side of resolutions is thinking of things that we should remove from our life, things that should no longer be. I think many of us probably have a little bit of the hoarder gene in us. And if we look at our closets and garages and in our houses, we find stuff that we don't need to have anymore, that we've collected, and the clutter that adds up and builds up. And those are physical things. How about deeper internal things, things that weigh us down, burdens we carry? I think this is the time of year as we reflect on what we should not carry over into the new year, what we should lay down, what we should no longer drag around with us, leave them in the past. With that in mind, I'd like to read Mark 10. Mark 10, I'll read from the 17th verse. Mark 10, 17. Very familiar text. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about, and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, and lands with possessions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. This account, known as the rich young ruler account, in this text here, we don't know that he's young, and we don't know that he's a ruler. In Matthew, it says he was young. In Luke, it says he was a ruler. So we put all the three together, and the accounts are all the same except for those little details here and there. Rich young ruler. Obviously, he had much possessions. And in all three accounts, the emphasis is on that he was wealthy. It's interesting in this account, which is not in the others, that he starts out, he came and ran to the master and kneeled to him. It's interesting that he kneeled to him. Kneeling is kind of a sign of worship, is a kind of a sign of reverence, is a kind of a sign of calling him Lord. I mean, this is something that we should bow before Jesus, bow before him and call him Lord. And I think just as this young man did, he showed the part of being submissive to Jesus, bowing before him. But when he was called out to do something, to respond in what Jesus gave him instruction to do, he could not have Jesus be Lord in that way. He wasn't really Lord. It was just Lord in the view of being Lord, in show. And it's just a clear example for us of how we need to be honest in our lordship of Jesus in our lives, and not just do it. The words are easy to say. The act of obedience in whatever Jesus tells us to do, what the Spirit leads us to do, that's what makes him our Lord, when we are responsive to the Word and to the Spirit, not just saying or looking the part of Jesus being Lord. It's our lives that totally reflect in all aspects. And though he kneeled before him, Jesus was not his Lord at this point, because he could not of his own self be obedient to what was asked of him. So what was the baggage for this rich young ruler? What was his burden that he was carrying? Clearly it was his great possessions. Does that mean wealth is a barrier to those who come to Christ, for people coming to Christ? I think in this text, Jesus is clearly saying, yes, that is a barrier, a obstruction that keeps us from coming to the Lord. But I don't know that it's only wealth. Clearly it's not only wealth. I think any sin that we are drawn to, that we are stuck in, that we are love more than the Lord, that we can't give up because it's so much of who we are, that is what is separating us from God. Jesus asks us to give whatever it is up. For him it was his possessions. For others it's their home, their car, their family. To give up something, to give up whatever is your primary thing that you treasure above Jesus, That's what we have to lay that burden down and give up those bags. And really, you know, it's not just wealthy. You know, clearly here it's the reliance on money that Jesus says, who rely on riches. Trust in riches, he says in verse 24. It's so easy to fall back if you have wealth that you can say, oh, whatever happens, at least I can, you know, pay for and be covered in that way. And that's a scary thing, to have that reliance and to think that that's good enough, that's all I need. Clearly, that's a problem, because our reliance should be on God and Christ alone. But those that aren't wealthy and strive for wealth and strive for achievement and strive for fulfillment in those things, it's the same thing. They may not be able to rely on the wealth, but their love, their desire for it, because that position of being comfortable, of being able to care for myself and not needing to rely on the Lord, is a position that is not what God wants us to be. Even if you're wealthy and you understand it as a gift from God and you're willing to give it and forego it and understand that my reliance is on Christ and Christ alone, then you have the heart that you should, whether you have money or whether you're not, whether you work hard or whether you're not. It's the love of money, love of pleasure, love of self, self-reliance. All these are sins that keep us from serving God and keep us on that path toward hell. When the young man was asked, when the young man walked away sorrowful because he could not give up of what he had, what Jesus had called him to do was more than he thought he could do. And he needed his possessions. He relied on the possessions more than he relied on Christ. And so he walked away sorrowful. And I think Jesus, who loved him, you know, it's always so interesting how Jesus loves everyone. But in this text here, it specifically calls out the young man who observed all these things and kept the law and had a heart that wanted to be in the kingdom of God. Jesus saw in him something, and he really had a compassion toward him. And he told him what his need was. And he walked away sorrowful. And I think Jesus was sorrowful too. But Jesus responds with an interesting analogy. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, many have postulated that in the gates of Jerusalem there's some narrow, small gates, archways, where a man could kind of fit through. But if you were a camel and you needed to get through, the only way to do so, and the analogy is well made, the only way to get through these gates is to unburden yourself. You have to take all your bags off the camel, and the camel actually has to get on their knees and kind of get through this gate. So that's an understanding, and it's fitting. It's a beautiful analogy of how we need to unburden ourselves of whatever it is that burdens us, especially sin, clearly. Love of money, a reliance on money, reliance on self. Unburden ourselves by God's grace to do that, to take those things off, and to be free of that, and to be totally committed to the Lord. Of course, it could be just a picture word picture, that absurdity of the impossibility of an actual needle that threads and sews with the large animal go through the eye of a needle. It's absolutely absurd. But I wonder if that's Jesus, is what he's saying. That it's impossible. It just can't be done. And of ourselves, we can't change. I read this week, I think it was in Jeremiah, a leopard can't change their spots. An Ethiopian can't change their color. A leopard can't change their spots, it says. We can't change ourselves. And our reliance on whatever it is that is hindering us from coming to God, whatever it is something that we can't change on our own. It is only by God's grace. And so, you know, when the disciples here are astonished at Jesus' words, because I think that the thinking was, you know, the rich people are certainly blessed, and so God is, you know, blessing them and honoring them, and they're the ones that they should be entering in the kingdom of God. They're blessed physically on this earth, and clearly, I'm sure many of the Pharisees and Sadducees were probably wealthy, and you know, they're the ones that are entering the kingdom of God. They're the good people. Clearly, Jesus was teaching otherwise. And the astonishment of the disciples is interesting, that they can't understand how can it be so impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, yes, you're right. It is impossible. And I love those words. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And really, isn't that what salvation is? Because as good as we try to be, as good as we try to remove the obstacles in our life, the sin that does so easily beset us, as hard as we try to earn and do good, none of that provides a way for us to be redeemed. It is only Jesus and Him alone and His sacrifice on the cross and His love for us in redeeming us that makes it possible. So with God, all things are possible. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse. Clearly, sin is a burden and a baggage that we carry and that needs to be let go. But there's other things. These things, you know, love of money and self-reliance, these are things that we see in this text. I'd like to read Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 22. Ephesians 4:22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. kind of ties into what we had in Bible class, Christian living, how we should live, what things should no longer be part of us, what things we should put off, evil speaking, lying, anger, clamor, bitterness. Bitterness is something that is very internal. Many, many things are very internal. And extracting the bad things and having the good things, being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We need to be mindful of our enemy, mindful that the devil is always out to get us, whether in what we say or what we do, but especially in what we think. The saying goes, if you give the devil an inch, he'll become your ruler. Get the inch ruler. We have to be careful to not give the devil an inch in our mind, in our actions, in what we say and do. There are only two rulers in this world, God and the devil. And if you're not serving one, you are serving the other. And the world doesn't like that idea. Even sometimes we don't like the idea. Well, I mean, if I'm not serving God, I'm serving myself. I'm doing my way. I did it my way. I did my things. But, well, if you're not serving God, then you think you're serving yourself. But really, that's just the devil leading you down that path. There's only two masters in this world, and we need to be clear on who we're serving. So this is more things in this Ephesians chapter of things we need to unburden ourselves and no longer be a part of. Sins are clearly a baggage we need to be released from. The love of money, the love of self, self-reliance, self-righteousness are clearly things that we should not engage in. We need to ask God to reveal them to us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But sin isn't only our only baggage. There's other baggage. There's a slew of emotional burdens that we often bear ourselves. Max Lucado put it this way in his book, Traveling Light. This is Max Lucado. "And the bags we grab are not made of leather, they're made of burdens. The suitcase of guilt, a sack of discontent. You drape a duffel bag of weariness on one shoulder and a hanging bag of grief on the other. Add on a backpack of doubt, an overnight bag of loneliness, and a trunk of fear. Pretty soon you're juggling more luggage than a sky cap. No wonder you're so tired at the end of the day. Carrying all that baggage is exhausting." Satan is a master of mind games. He will may not persuade you to sin, but he'll persuade you to doubt and persuade you to fear and persuade you to think that, you know, the self-righteous idea is an idea of a mind game that we have. You know, I always think that the Israelites, part of their problem is they just assumed, hey, we're the children of God. God loves us. God has blessed us. And that's who we are. And it really doesn't matter what we do because God loves us and God has blessed us. And we see their failings all throughout the Old Testament. And I wonder if that mindset often comes with us too. We are blessed. God has redeemed me. He's saved me. Saved my soul. He's given me life. And in that state, I think, well, then I'm harmless, I'm blameless, it doesn't matter, because God has blessed me and God is on my side. It clearly matters what we say, what we do, that self-righteousness is a problem. And all these grief and bitterness and unforgiveness, we had the Christmas season and we spoke of God's love in sermons. I heard so many sermons that spoke of God's love and encouraged us to love one another. And in most, in any of those sermons that I listened to, there was not a talk of forgiveness. Really, God's love is reflected most in the forgiveness that He offers us, in His grace, that when we are deserving of punishment, He gives us His goodness. He forgives us and wipes our slate clean. Clearly, we are called to give as well. And how many of us hold grudges, have resentment, harbor bad feelings towards someone or a whole group of people? God's love is not part of any of those feelings. And it should not be part of the baggage that we carry about. God wants us to look at our lives, look at our thoughts, look at the way we feel, and release those to Him. We need to bring our thoughts captive. We need to bring our thoughts into the light of God's Word and to the light of Jesus, that those thoughts, even the thoughts we have, the feelings we have, the emotions we have, could be redeemed and restored. Going into the new year, we really need to release the bags of burden, the bags of stuff that we carry, and not physical stuff, but physical too probably, but emotional and ideas that we have. When we read these verses in Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24 are key of how we should. Putting off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That the Holy Spirit would renew our mind to be conformed to God's Word and put on that new man, putting the old things off, releasing those bags of sin, of doubt, of emotional scarring, of bad ideology that we may have, and have God's Word be the focus. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, holy living according to God's Word. If we look back at the account of the rich young ruler, and Jesus tells them, how can it be possible? It's not possible of ourselves. It has to be God working in us. It has to be Him changing us as we just, the Holy Spirit renewing our minds and making us new. And after Jesus says that with God all things are possible, and after this whole account with the impossibility of the rich coming and forsaking all, Peter says, well, look, we've left everything to follow thee. And basically he was implying, we did that. We've left everything, so what about us? And I find it interesting that he says it in this way, and Jesus is very gracious and says, those who have left all will be blessed and have eternal life. But clearly Peter was still in the wrong here, kind of thinking about himself, thinking about what's going to happen for me. How will I be blessed because of what my sacrifices? And that's something that we need to be very mindful of. to not look at ourselves, to look, well, I've done this and I do this, and so, Lord, how will you bless me? It's not about looking at ourselves. It's not about seeing what we can do. It's not about our efforts. It's clearly about focus on Jesus, focus on Him, a vertical view of the what's most important. And then everything else works out. Is our focus on ourselves, on our words, on our deeds, on our thoughts? We need to hold every thought captive. Because even when everything is
good from a perspective of everything being well, God still wants us
to release our baggage of sin, of self, and have our focus be on Him. And if our focus is truly on Him, then everything else will fall in place. And we will serve Him with all our hearts. As we saw this morning as well, in 2024, let's drop our bags and kneel before our Lord in submission and truly have Him be the Lord of our lives. Let's conclude by singing hymn 324, all the verses.
We are thankful that God has been with us today in teaching us from His Word, and we thank Him for that. And we heard in Bible class this morning about how we as believers should live, and we should look to the example of Christ, how He lived and how He was gracious to others, how He loved others, and we should use that example. And we went through some of the examples and husband and wife, and how we should be kind to others and love others and serve them. And then in as Brother Phil read in Mark 10, that we should let Jesus be our Lord. And we see that a man came unto Jesus and said about, asked what he needed to do to get into the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus let him know that that he should serve Christ. He, those possessions that the man had were really a burden to him. They were something that he depended on, and it's almost like he had that as an idol. And he went away sorrowful because of that. He wasn't able to give his heart unto the Lord because of those other things that his heart was set on. And like Phil said, we should not give the devil an inch. We should not obey him. We should not listen to him. And we should know those things that he's telling us that are false. We should learn to do that. And then we should love and forgive as Christ gave us an example of that, and that we should put away lying and anger and those things that that would draw us away from God, and we should come unto God. And then I'd like to read two verses from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we should be joyful that he has given us verses like that to show us who Jesus is and how much he loves us, and how it's needful that we could give our lives unto him so that we could be those examples to other people of how we Jesus wants us to live, and to recognize what he has done for us. And we ask that God would bless us in our efforts to do that. Let's arise for a prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you and honor you for who you are and what you have done for us, and especially for the suffering and death that you gave for us so that our sins could be forgiven. And Lord, we just are so grateful for that and want to honor and praise you. And Lord, we ask that as we go through out this week and through this coming year, that we would look unto you to be the author and finisher of our faith, and we would look to you for the guidance that we need to live lives that are according to your will and that are pleasing in your sight. And Lord, we thank you for sending the Holy Ghost also to teach us and to guide us into all truth and to show us the way that we should live. And Lord, we just want to honor you and praise you that all that we say and do. And Lord, as we are about to partake of a meal, we would ask that your blessing would be upon it and upon those who have prepared it. And we would go throughout the day to serve you and do whatever we can to magnify your name. And Lord, we just honor you and praise you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.